Today on Real Radio.
We have in our minds respectable sinners and non-respectable sinners. Listen, the Bible says we are dead when we are outside of Christ. How dead is dead?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch, Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. Chapter 11 features some of Messiah's most radical declarations. In the verses we're looking at on today's program, Jesus speaks of light in the context of a metaphor or comparison. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Turning on the Light.
Our original mom and dad, who, according to the Hebrew scriptures, Genesis, when they fellowshiped with God in the Garden of Eden, the Hebrew language suggests that though Adam and Eve were naked, they never knew it. Because the Hebrew language suggests that they were clothed in light. Now that's kind of cool. Think about it. What did they look like? I don't know. What did it feel like? Don't know. But being in the Garden of Eden, walking with God, it had to be cool. It had to be awesome. But the Bible says that when they sinned, when they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the Bible says that in that they sinned and they knew that they were naked. Can you imagine beaming? Adam, you're naked. Eve, you're looking pretty naked there yourself. Naked, no longer displaying the fellowship of God. The Bible says that our God is light. Did you know that? Three things that the Bible says about the God of the Bible, the God Jehovah, the God who's created all that there is. That he's holy. It says God is holy, God is light, and God is love. That's all you need. That God loves you, that God invites you to come into the light, and that God is holy. See, you and I can never be holy. God makes us holy. It's God's work in our lives. He puts the love, he puts the holiness, and he invites us into his presence. God is so very good. Well, light is meant to be discerning. Listen, Ephesians 5:11 says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful to speak of those things which others do in secret. But all things that are exposed shall be manifested by the light, for wherever the light is, the light makes manifested. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep. That doesn't mean you're sleeping. Awake you who are lost, wandering around, sleepwalking, as it were. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Come out of the darkness and into the light. By the way, did you read that verse? It's Ephesians 5:12. He says, don't even speak about those things which people do in secret. I would love to be able to apply that right now. You know when you go to the market and you're going to check out? Have you seen those ridiculous magazines? Those things are insane. First of all, I'm not sure, thank God, if I've ever seen anybody buy any of those things. But apparently somebody does, but I don't know the name of them, but maybe the Inquirer or the Star or the what, I don't know. And then they've got those things. Have you noticed? It's the people, self, us, you, me, all about me. I want to be a legend. I'm God. I'm myself. It's all about those ridiculous Hollywood magazine things. The Bible says, don't even talk about those things that are in secret. But people buy those stuff, I assume, and they read, and they, oh, did you see what, I don't know, I'm really bad, but Tom Cruise. Oh, did you see Tom Cruise? Oh, what about Tom Cruise? And, oh, did you see what Brad Pitt and Oprah? You know what, you guys, I hate to burst your bubble. I know we live in Southern California, but when you leave this part of the world, nobody cares about that stuff. Can you imagine? Nobody cares. Everybody wants to, I was going to say everybody wants to dress up like Britney, which is not dressing at all, but people want, oh, look, buy this. It's the hat that so-and-so wears, and this is so-and-so's pants, and we're caught in a trap in this part of the world, my friends. And the thing I heard this morning driving in on KNX News, driving into church this morning, that all these superstars have got, they're now talking about, well, what rehab center are you in? Oh, I'm serious. Oh, you're in the one in Bel Air? I'm in the one in Brentwood. What rehab center are you in? I'm in the one in New York. Oh, I'm in the one in Malibu. Now it's hip to be in a rehab center. Why? Because these people who don't know how to live life and they've divorced themselves from God, they have all the bucks, they've got all the money to keep the lights on, but there's no illumination. They're walking in darkness, the poor things. Brittany needs Jesus. Man, that's the only thing. She had it all and she's losing it all. You know what? I hope in the end that she gets Jesus. Man, they all need the Lord. And you and I need the Lord. But this is so, so critical. Because when the light comes on, when God shines his light into your soul, into my soul, we begin to see what and who we are and how bad we need him. Very important. Point number two in our study this morning is this. Point number two, verse 34, the need to see. Turning on the light because we have the great need to see. Jesus said the lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Two absolute different paths. But notice this, it has to deal with the eye. The point central of discussion this morning that we need to look at in application is the eye. What does he mean about the eye? What is he talking about? Let's be honest. Is he talking about only the physical eye? No, we'll know that clearly in a moment. But he is talking about the eye. Why? Because it's through our eyes that things enter into our being. It's the way things enter into our soul, things enter into our mind. It's through the eye that things enter into our spirit. Watch this. If you're going to talk to somebody, maybe you're going to discipline your child and you say to them, look at me in the eye. I'm going to tell you something. Next time you paint the dog, you're going to get grounded. If it's serious, you're going to say, look at me in the eye. Lovers, what do? They look at each other in the eyes. In the eyes. If you're trying to communicate anything of meaning, value, and of importance, you're going to look right into the eyes. No one appreciates someone who's talking to them. Have you ever talked to people like this? I have. They're talking to you, and you're talking to them, and they're looking right over your shoulder at other things going on. And you're wondering, is this person even listening? Well, what's very, very essential about that is that when the Lord is communicating to us, he announces to us clearly. He speaks to us directly. And when we talk to somebody, the closest we can get to them, when we're talking on this physical plane that you and I live in, we would look right into their eye. Because you know the old earthly proverb that says that the eyes are the window to the soul, you know? Well, this is not all that far off from the truth. Your eye is an amazing thing. Your body's an amazing thing. But your eye, if you look at something, watch this. And now we go, as Jesus is teaching us, from the physical, how it affects the spiritual. I can look at something very tender, very wonderful thing, and it can affect me. On September 11th, when you were here, you saw the video of those police officers and firemen who survived the 9/11 attacks, but they were burying their brothers. And you saw that one guy standing there saluting his brother, and he's crying. There couldn't have been a heart in this place that wasn't touched by that. And I got a lump in my throat when I saw that. How can something that I physically look at with physical eyes of this world affect a non-physical part of my being? Why? Because you are a spiritual creature. This body is simply a tool, and God has given you and I these eyes to look at things, and whatever we see, it's processed. The eye, watch, our eyes cannot sin. Our eyes cannot be righteous. They cannot do anything. They're just a biological tool. It's where the will, the invisible part of who we are, it's where we direct them. It becomes an apparatus to take it in. That's very, very important. Very careful about that. The need to see, the lamp of the body is the eye. And what do we learn about this? Verse 34, what we see shapes our purpose. Each and every one of us in this room, we have a path, we have a direction, we have a purpose, we have a desire in our lives, and it came through and is translated via the things that we've seen over our lives. Jesus said, the lamp of the body is the eye, and the eye works like a lens. Picture the eye like a lens, and if something gets on it, it's going to affect the way the brain processes. For example, if you need reading glasses, and now your glasses are out of shape, they're out of focus, you need stronger reading glasses. If you don't get those things fixed, you are operating with, as it were now, a film over your eyes. They're the glasses. They're wrong. The wrong prescription. What's going to happen to you? You're going to get a headache. You're going to get nauseous. You're going to think you're sick. I think I got the flu. Did you know that you can have the wrong prescription and think you have the flu? Because you get wicked, wicked headaches, all because there is something affecting the process of what the eye is taking in. Jesus said that's exactly how it is in life. Your eye takes in what you're beholding. And when it comes through, if there's a film, if there is dirt, as it were, on that lens, it is going to affect the way it is processed in your innermost being. The need to see, it's for all of us. But what we see shapes our purpose. Ephesians 5:8 says, for you were once in darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We once had our eyes in the world. Now we have our eyes on the Lord. We're changed. Listen, I need you to sit down. Well, you are sitting down. I need you to stay seated. Because what I'm going to say right now, I want to say this loud and clear. I want you to know that the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Did you hear what I said, anybody? All five of you heard that, right? All of us have sinned, says the Bible. In this room, from that end to that end, there's no one bigger or lesser of a sinner in the eyes of God. You and I grade on a curve, but that's because we're wicked, evil people, and we judge people based upon a curve. God does not judge based upon a curve. If you are the most respectable businessman in the community, but a liar, if you are a prostitute, half naked, and a ruinous life all of your life, society says, you're bad, but you we want to go out to dinner with. God says, I don't want to go out to dinner with any of you until you come to my son. You need Jesus. Jesus went to the cross to die for all of our sins, but we are so carnal in our judgment that we have in our minds respectable sinners and non-respectable sinners. Listen, the Bible says we are dead when we are outside of Christ. How dead is dead? Dead. The Bible says we need to be born again so we can come to life. It's the Spirit of God that gives us life. Now, why am I giving such a preface to this? Because the verse I'm about to read, probably within, I'm going to prophesy here, not saith the Lord, saith Jack. This verse at current rate will probably be illegal within 5 years from the day of this statement. It's illegal in Canada. It's illegal in Sweden. You can't read what I'm about to read you from the Bible, and it's coming to America. But let me tell you, I'm going to read it because I love you if you are the most respectful businessman in the community, or if you are a prostitute that's just walked in here off the street. I love you. My sin, your sin, it's all rotten before God, and we all need Jesus. So listen, did I make that clear enough? I'm not picking on anybody. Okay, so there, you can't sue me now. Here it goes. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. This is what Jesus does. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? That means there ain't no heaven for these people if they stay this way. Do not be deceived. No fornicators, that's having sex, that's not being married and having sex with people, person, anybody. And by the way, it also means sexual lewdness. It doesn't even mean you don't have to go all the way. It means that you just are involved in sexual lewdness. Bible says you're not going to go. Idolaters, People who love things and make it their identity. I'm so depressed. I can't live anymore. I need a new car. Bible says you're an idol worshiper. Adulterer. You know what adulterer is? Just watch TV. That's an adulterer. It's on like every channel. Everybody's cheating on somebody. That means if one or both of the two parties engaged in their activities sexually is married, you are committing adultery. Yeah, but I'm not married. He is. You are an adulterer, God says. And you're not going to heaven. Okay, he keeps going. Homosexual. Bible says homosexual right there. Why? Well, first of all, God says don't do it. It's wrong. It'll kill you. It'll destroy you. God says don't do that. Sodomites, not going to talk about that one. Thieves, are you a thief? God says you're not going to go. Covetous, you want other people's stuff? I've got to have that. Covetousness is, I can't live without it. I got to have it. Could be a lawnmower. My neighbor's got the best looking lawnmower I've ever seen. That's why I brought it up. That's my thing. Look at his lawnmower. My lawnmower is dirty. It's all scratched up. My neighbor gets a new lawnmower! Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's possessions. Could be his wife, her husband, car, lawnmower. Okay? Not on a curve. We don't grade like that. God does not do that. Listen, nor drunkards, partiers, revilers, people who party and argue, extortionists will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, here's the great news. And such were some of you. He's speaking to the church at Corinth. In other words, Paul was saying, hey, remember when some of you guys were a bunch of thieves? And they're all in the back. They're going, yep, we remember. We were thieves. Do you guys remember a bunch of adulterers? Boy, do we remember. Paul says, yeah, I remember you guys were a bunch of, remember idolaters and homosexuals and all that? Yeah, we remember. Paul says, such were some of you. Watch this. And by the way, let's not point fingers at anybody. All of us in this room, starting with me first, are the chief of sinners.
Yeah, but I've never been any of those things.
You're probably so arrogant and impressed with yourself that you think you're God or something. Believe me, we've all sinned. We all need him. No one's sinless in this life. So, such were some of you. Watch this. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. That is awesome news. Listen, a lot of those things that we're talking about, a lot of those sins, you say, well, I was born that way. I was born a thief. No, you were not born a thief. It's in my DNA. No, it was not in your DNA. I can't be, I'm an adulterer. I can't keep my pants on. It's in my DNA. It's not from your genes. It's not keeping your genes on is the problem. It's a choice you make. Those are all sins of choice. Science confirms this, sins of choice. Here's the thing. Why do we make the choices we make? What's wrong with us? Hey, as you get older, especially when you're raising up your kids, remember the stuff that your parents did to you that you said, I'll never do? Boy, when I have my kids, I'm never going to treat my kid like you treat me, parent. I'm not. You're thinking, I'll never be a dad like you're a dad to me. And then, listen, you start living your life with your kid, and you wind up saying the same thing that your dad said to you that you said you would never say to your kids. This is going to hurt me a lot more. It's going to hurt you. You know, that kind of stuff. Where does that come from? Learned response behavior. Listen, when we grow up, we're like sponges in every way. And when we see our parents growing up and they get in an argument, dad reaches for the bottle. As a little child, we begin to equate Jim Beam fixes the problem. It's not Jesus Christ. It's Jim Beam. It's Jack Daniels. It's a line of Coke. It's a pill. It's violence. The little kid grows up and sees when something happens, when the bills can't be paid, dad winds up throwing things around the house. That's not in that kid's DNA. That kid watches this, and it goes through the lenses of his eyes, and it makes an imprint upon his heart. If he likes it or not, as he grows up, he begins to live out what he saw come in. And he may hate it. He may even shake his fist at himself and say, when will this cycle break? Paul just told us a moment ago, through Jesus Christ, the cycle breaks. Listen, I don't mean to offend anybody, but you can go to a psychoanalyst. You can go to anybody you want and pay the amount of money you're going to pay. I'm going to save you some money right now, and I'm going to get some nasty letters from people who are going to disagree with this. It may help a very, very tiny bit, but it's not going to help to the core. They don't deal in the realm of the spirit. They only deal in the realm of the psyche in Greek. Psychology, psyche is where we get that from. Jesus Christ, our chief surgeon, goes straight to the heart, and he changes our heart. Only God does that. He made you. He can lift the hood of your life and put in a new heart. It's a spiritual miracle that he does. It's awesome. God does that. Secondly, under this point, the need to see is vision. What we see gives us vision. Therefore, when your eye is good, Jesus said, your whole body's full of light. The word good here means focus, a directed beam, focused. Today we use the word laser. If you have an eye that is laser focused, then your whole body's going to be fine. You don't have to worry about it. In John 12:36, Jesus said, while you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be children of the light. And in John 9:5, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Jesus gives us vision. Another thing here, thirdly, under this point, what we see can ruin our lives as well. Look, my friend, you're either going to look to the things of God or the things of this world. It's black and white.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Turning on the Light, a look at Luke chapter 11 and verses 33 through 36. It's part of our journey through this fascinating New Testament narrative written by Luke, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, just a brief reminder that Calvary Chapel Chino Hills also has other media outreaches. HisChannel.com, for instance, carries our television outreach Journey with Jack Hibbs. And that's on HisChannel.com, which also airs our midweek study on Wednesday nights. And in fact, here's Pastor Jack to tell us more about that.
Yeah, Mike, we are in the midst of an awesome series. In fact, it's so excellent, I believe, that we wanted to make that announcement right here on Real Radio. We are going through a special series regarding the disciplines of life. And boy, I got to tell you that just the word discipline causes people to kind of take a step back. We live in a culture today that discipline is out of the vocabulary. Discipline is not discussed. And yet without disciplines, we cannot be a disciple. The very word disciple is connected to discipline, and that is discipleship. If you're in the Southern California area, just drive on out on a Wednesday night, and we're seeing God do some pretty wonderful stuff. Let me give you a couple of titles that we're going through. It's a 31-week series, but I'll just point out a few of them. We're going to be looking at the disciplines of disappointment. Everybody in life struggles with disappointment, yet we have found out that God is in the midst of disappointment. That's where often we are taught the greatest things regarding our Christian faith. And then the disciplines of doubt, for example. Everybody struggles to some degree with doubt. And we're going to talk about the disciplines of how to overcome doubt that comes against the Christian walk. So it's a great series. If you're in the Southern California area, join us. And if you can't, you can be with us on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock Pacific time, at hischannel.com.
Okay, you can find out more by visiting hischannel.com or simply click the link at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. And and in His Word.
Inside, You shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.